Welcome to another live recording of the Linking the Travel Industry podcast, where we discuss travel industry news you are talking about on LinkedIn. My name is Rian, and I'm one of your hosts today. I'm the CEO at Agentivity, where we have a vision that any TMC should be data empowered. You can read more about us at agentivity.com.
Welcome, everybody, and I'm Anne. I'm a consultant with LeapShift, happy to help you with anything related to retailing, distribution, and the CM1 order. In addition, I'm also an instructor both with IATA and Aeroclass.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ash, and I'm the host of a weekly business travel podcast called What's Up in Business Travel, where we give you only the important updates in under 15 minutes. Additionally, I'm the vice president at Traxo, and this is Linking the Travel Industry.
So thank you both for giving me your time today again. And for those in the audience joining us, thank you for giving us your time and great to see some new faces there. The format of this discussion evolves around a post I do on a Friday where I summarize the week's news and then we discuss them a bit more detailed here. So last week was week five already. Two first stories related to airlines not doing so well, which is weird reading that in the recent news of airlines doing very well otherwise. But we heard about the Brazilian airline Gol. They filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Strangely enough, in the US, they didn't start those proceedings in Brazil. And the other news comes out of Canada. The Canadian very low-cost carrier Flair Airlines apparently owes about $67 million in unpaid taxes. So as a result, the Canadian Revenue Service was starting to see some of their assets. So not good news for either of those two airlines. And just before the call went live, we said it's weird how we are reading about airlines doing very, very well otherwise, and then suddenly we hear about airlines not doing so well. So what's going on here, do you think?
Well, I mean, like I said, it would be very interesting to actually, I mean, I wish I had the time to do more in-depth analysis on why are some incredibly profitable and doing extremely well in this market that seems to just go up and up and up and up. And some, of course, are doing so well. I'm particularly sad about Flair because I like their concept. And on a personal note, I like Juliana Ramirez, who works there, who was actually the one behind the subscription model at Volaris, a very innovative person. And I had sort of high hopes for Flair being very innovative. You know, this filing Chapter 11 in the US, I think, you know, remember Scandinavian Airlines did the same.
I don't think either one of these airlines is going to go out of business or anything like that. This is just simply a setup to fix things that have been probably impacting them from the pandemic years and just kind of carrying on and on and on. Gol is not a small airline. It's definitely not a large one, but it's definitely one that has a lot of great partnerships like American Airlines, who owns over 5% of Gol. So this whole refinancing, restructuring, setting it up is just to get rid of all the debt that it has to focus on. Instead, it can just focus on operations. And even the Flair, I think the Canadian government has no interest in shutting down Flair. I think it's just simply Flair is going to have to figure out how to deal with this debt that they have with the Canadian government. And once they do that, then I think they'll be fine. So I think both these airlines will solve their problems and move forward in the right way.
But why are airlines struggling so much in Canada specifically? You know, it's very interesting because this is not the first time that we're seeing that. We're seeing it's a really challenging market. And you'd think, I mean, this is flyer turf, right? We have to fly.
Yeah. And I think the Canadian government, I mean, the Canadian air market has never been a good market for airlines.
No.
I think Porter has kind of been the smart one in all of this. During the pandemic, I mean, Porter shut down for the entire 2020. They didn't even try to fly in any way or form. So I think you see some airlines who are smart in that way and have done the right things. But then most Canadian airlines have struggled during the last several years now.
I remember that about Porter. Now, not to put you on the spot, but did they then go through that and are they back flying?
Yeah, they're back flying. Yeah. Instead of spending their money trying to lose money, they actually save all their money and then they bought larger planes. And so now Porter, that used to be a small regional Toronto-based airline, has now started to purchase larger planes, fly further west, and is really giving the other airlines a run for their money, which is good for prices and it's good for the travelers.
We talked the previous week about the news of the week then, which was Ryanair and Love Holidays making a deal. And they were in the news again last week with the news that they've also forged a relationship with Kiwi.com. A very fascinating round of developments there. I see Alex is in the audience there. She had a fantastic graphic about a kiwi hugging a plane, which I really liked. I like that post a lot. But there's been a lot of follow-up posts here. And in fact, my comment on that post by Alex, where I said they are obviously in control and it's been done, I had a few other follow-up comments about, yes, there's probably been a lot of legal input there and making that deal work and sort of force it. But Ryanair is in a very strong position here, right, Anne?
Oh, indeed they are. You know, I say again, I think that Ryanair's strategy is not, it's just not taken out of thin air in any way. I'm sure that they've planned this. Maybe they needed to do some adjustments to their API or to sort of controlling it. But I mean, clearly they want to control who they sell to and through, etc. So
sure. I mean, I made the comment where it's one thing to be in control and being good at that. But do you think there's a bit of forcing the hand here, or quite rightly so? Is Ryanair sort of just because they are so dominant and strong doing what they want?
Well, of course. I mean, they can, right? I mean, yeah, you know, they're the powerful airline here. I remember it's the largest airline in Europe, but it's clear to see that, you know, OTAs will have an impact. It's much better to keep the, you know, the pirates under control, I would say.
Any comments on that story, Ash?
You know, I don't really know too much about Kiwi. I mean, we talked about, you know, the whole Ryanair angle last week. And so for me, there's really not much to add here. The only thing I would say is that I'm not really a fan of this whole Kiwi concept that they have. I mean, when I go to their website, I see, you know, we hack the system. Like, really? You hack the system? You know, travel more, spend less. Like, these are like really strange concepts in today's world, I think. And they need to revamp their whole who they are. I try to find flights here in the US. They don't even have some of the airlines. So how do they hack the system when they don't have all the airlines? How do they do one search all flights when they don't have? So I'm not trying to bash Kiwi. I'm sure there are wonderful people behind the scenes here, but it just doesn't fit right for me.
Something that I personally struggle with, you know, is when they actually suggest to passengers that you want to fly to Copenhagen, but fly on to Gdansk, right? Instead, because it's so much cheaper. But I mean, if you do that sort of stuff.
I was not going to break the news to Ash, but Ash, I don't think you are the target market for Kiwi.com.
No, you're not.
But those add-on city type fares, I mean, you know, those are not really, I mean, is that really hacking the system? I don't know. It seems strange.
I tell you where they are good. Last year, a routing that they suggested for me, which was to go out of, you know, the south of Turkey to Dubai on Sun Express and then connect with, you know, Kenya Airways onto Nairobi, that sort of thing, which you won't find on default OTAs or GDS searches. It's quite difficult to find that sort of routing. But again, not the type of routing Ash is going to do.
And isn't Kiwi the bird that doesn't fly? I mean, there's all sorts of issues here. I mean, this is just a marketing branding nightmare for me.
Oh dear. I think
Mohit, you've got a comment for us on the story, right? How are you?
I'm very well, Rian. It's very good to be back. I hope you guys have been well. Yes, so I think building upon what Ash was saying, they really need to revamp. It's pretty sad to see some great talent go away from Kiwi, which was your other story. You know, it was bound to happen. It's no secret, you know, that many carriers do not prefer to sell their content via them. In many markets, they were lagging behind. But the Ryanair news really comes as a surprise to me. Maybe the story behind the story here is that, you know, they finally have content, or, you know, they are selling their content officially via an API, and probably then, you know, the cost of the scraping that was happening behind the scenes is no longer required. So it's very interesting to see, you know, if Ryanair will still allow them to build the self-transfer or VI content with this.
And I wonder who will be Ryanair's deal of the week this week, right? Because there's a deal every week now. So maybe we'll see another announcement this week. Let's see.
Have you seen the trial hacks link on Kiwi.com? I mean, there's a guy wearing a bikini. and the title is throwaway ticketing. Like, it's strange.
Yeah, the throwaway ticketing, that's the one I mentioned. And I mean, when you go to consumer forums, you do see lots of complaints, right? So I've got to check out this guy in a bikini. This just gets worse.
Now, speaking of an airline that has done a lot of work and, you know, changed quite a lot of things in the last year or so, American Airlines was in the news last week, pretty much doubling down on its internet and direct distribution strategy. So, Ash, this was on the back of your attentive listening to their earnings call and telling us about this at the end of last week. But do you have further comments on this? It's not the writing's on the wall. The wall has been painted and they're just building, you know, the gates now, right?
For me, I mean, I mentioned this as my extra story last week, but for me, this is just a very, very well done effort by American Airlines. I mean, if you just think about what they were trying to do back on April 3rd when they first launched their initiatives and where they are today, it's night and day. And when you look at the numbers, I mean, the numbers tell you the entire story. The numbers are phenomenal. You know, they have had to overcome a lot of debt issues last year that came due for them. So they had to change something. And I think that the people behind the scenes, they've all really done a really, really good job. And they've almost created a blueprint by which other airlines who are interested in moving the industry forward are able to do that. The other news with this came this week was that they were also laying off a lot of people from their call centers. And so American Airlines has decided that, look, we're going to use technology. We're going to shift people's behavior. We already know that the future of travelers is technology. The ones that are holding on to the old ways of making phone calls and doing things that take a lot of effort from our personnel, we're going to start to let that go as well. And we're going to force the world to move forward with us as we're moving forward technology. So you can do most of the things that you want with American on their app. The numbers show it, the channel show it, direction shows it. It's all perfect. And I think American Airlines is going to have a great 2024.
Very interesting. Thank you for that feedback. And any comments?
Again, you know, kudos to American. Like I say, they're forging the way. And we needed this. You know, we really needed that. There's someone to prove that, yes, it can be done. And I don't know when they actually left for content. As you know, that is the sort of catalyst to all of this happening. And I must say that they must have planned this extremely carefully and exceptionally well. Again, full of admiration. Just, you know, wow.
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of that stuff that I don't like. But what I have to say, I agree with you, is that they have made a plan and they stuck to it and they went for it. So it's rare for us to see that in industry these days, people being very scared to try stuff. They're certainly not scared.
The worst you can do is sort of announce something. Yes. I mean, sadly, we saw that, didn't we, with SAS. And yes. What was the name of that horrible model? Wholesale model. Yes. And of course, you know, it was a horrible model to begin with. But then just sort of in the middle of it, you just abandon it. I think that shows lack of planning and execution.
I just want to take a few moments to turn to our audience today and say thank you again for giving us your time. We're not done yet. We've got a few more stories left, but I just want to remind you that the purpose of linking the travel industry is indeed to make sure that as many of us are connected to one another. So if you haven't done this yet, scan through the people in the room and make sure you are connected to as many of them as possible. We also pick a link of the week, and this week I'm going to pick Svetlana Asenitse from British Airways. Thank you for giving us your time, and if you don't mind, I'm going to call you out and say you are link of the week, and I would encourage others to connect to you, and hopefully you'll accept those connections. So thank you very much. Thank you for giving us the thumbs up there. And again, for the rest of you, thank you for giving us your time. So we're not done, actually. There's a few more stories, but I thought I'd add a quick quiz for Anne and Ash. And seeing that you're on the stage, you can just as well take part. So Ash and Anne, I'm going to give you two numbers. One was 104.7. Why was that number in the news recently? It was in the news 2 weeks ago, so I'll forgive you if you can't recall.
104.7?
That's a radio station in New York.
It's a millions as well. So it's 104.7 million. No idea? Okay, fine. Well, that was the number of people that Atlanta International Airport handled in 2023, setting a new record.
Wow.
104.7 million. That's a lot, right?
Wow.
Okay, one more number for you. 25. It was in news this week twice. Once in the context of 25 million and once in the context of 25 years.
The number of people that went to...
You'll find this astonishing. 25 million was the number of first-time travelers that took to the skies in India last year.
Wow. Oh, yes, of course.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
First-time travelers, that's incredible.
Yes. First-time travelers. Wow.
That gives me goosebumps. What do you think 25 years related? There's something that was celebrating 25 years this week.
Oh, I know.
Yes?
The One World Alliance celebrated.
There we go. I don't know. The game show soundtrack for that. But
proud of you, Ash. I mean, I failed miserably across the board, but you at least. Very good.
Back to some of my stories. I've got two more left on my list. Virgin Atlantic teaming up with China Eastern. It just helps them with that Shanghai route that they've got from London. Good news there. It's interesting. I know you're not a fan of this interlining stuff happening, but still, it's good news for Virgin and China Eastern, right?
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, yeah. I'm a fan of interlining. I'm just not a fan of codeshare. And then, of course, interlining needs to be modernized. I think the process of interline, you know, being 35 years old needs to be modernized. It just needs to be more profitable for airlines and modernized and sort of, so there's work to be done.
And then as some acquisition news, Amadeus acquires biometric solution company VisionBox for 320 million euros. VisionBox being a biometrics company. Sorry, I've said that already. But obviously they plan to use that in some of the services they provide to Airlines. Expected move, interesting move by the Blue Ann.
That's their airport stuff. Yeah, I mean, another acquisition by Amadeus, right? But it most probably makes sense and hope they take good care of the company.
Remains to be seen, right? So, Ash, I don't know if you have any comments on that story.
According to the article, the industry itself, the whole sector, it's supposed to grow, almost double its numbers from $48 billion last year to $86 billion by 2028. So to me, those numbers stand out. Oh, and obviously, that's why the investment is being made. You know, I think that the traveler is now expecting an experience that allows them go from one end to the other end with all the pieces in between kind of taking care of itself. So I think in the case of Amadeus, they're looking at that larger picture. And I think Vision Box is just an attempt for them to get involved in a category that they were not involved in previously, which is biometrics. So this is good for them.
Well, guys, those were the stories on my list. I have one extra quick one to mention, just in the light of, actually, I've got two to mention quickly. In the light of the American Airlines direction it was going, it was interesting to see Frontier introducing GDS-only bundled fare for business travelers, sort of the complete opposite of what's happening with Americans. So just interesting to note.
You know, I think it makes perfect sense. Why not bundle it in the GDS? Actually, you know, this sounds ridiculous, but this is actually what we did at Norwegian back in 2008. You know, there was a GDS bundled concept, right? And then there was, you know, there was an API concept. And of course, the GDS with all its flaws and limitations, right? This makes much more sense to do this. And of course, I added a surcharge to that. So I fully understand what they do.
Yeah, because when you think of Frontier Airlines, you think of business travel. And of course, on one side, you have American Airlines pushing the boundaries and moving things forward. Then you have Frontier Airlines keeping people back in place with the attempt to offer something that they've never offered before. Like, why didn't you offer this in 2018, 2019? And you're talking about 2008. Is that what you just said, right?
Yes, 2008, yeah. We had that concept. So, I mean, it's nothing new, right? It's a compromise for the GDS distribution.
The timing is suspicious, is it not, Anne? Timing is so suspicious.
Timing is maybe. But still, I mean, they obviously have a corporate market that they were a bit slow in recognizing. And the way I see it, this is a compromise.
You're so nice.
Yeah, I like Frontier.
Anyway, I don't know one single business traveler, unless they're in a market where they're the only ones that are offering the nonstop flight, that chooses Frontier.
Not expect this comment to raise so much discussion, but there we go. Thank you very much. And then it was also just interesting for me to note that Clive Ratton from the BTA wrote a nice post about how he hopes that the door at Ryanair is now open for business travelers to talk to them, or TMC, sorry, to talk to them, because he finds it very frustrating that they are clearly going down a path of organizing who they work with, and he's desperately trying to tell them that the door to TMCs are also open. So it was an interesting post to see there from Clive, and I hope he makes some headway there with Ryanair. Okay, guys, those were the stories on my list. And any extra stories from your side?
A couple of stories. I found it interesting to see, you know, we've talked about the sort of sad airline many times, Norse Atlantic, and it's just not going very well, is it? And now I saw that they're selling a large material stake in the airline, and Seabury are now involved in this acquisition. So it's like they'll be losing control of the airline. You know how we've questioned this airline
for a long time.
And we can't sort of figure out what is it that they want to be or become, or what's their vision. If you see the longest delay in I think history of I think it was history of aviation or something, 60 hours, a TUI flight from Manchester to Madeira that actually spent 3 days trying to get there. They rerouted to Porto Santo and overnighted, then tried to land, then had to reroute to Tenerife, and then tried to get back and couldn't. And then they had to reroute again to Tenerife, and then finally made it after 60 hours. Poor people.
I think just saying poor people is probably the understatement of the year. Can you imagine?
I'd go home.
Go home is probably a bit challenging as well.
You know, to be fair, I know three couples who've met as a result of delays and being stuck on tarmacs and aircraft, etc. So, yeah, there could always be that, right? There could always be the upside.
Yeah, it could always be an upside.
There's a new dating app right there. We'll put you on the flight with the biggest delays so you can meet somebody today.
Those are my stories.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Ash, any from your side?
There was a BCD study that came out talking about electric vehicles. The study was quite interesting. They said that 80% of business travelers do not rent electric vehicles on a business trip. So for me, it was like, okay, we have all these hoopla going around EVs and what have you. Companies have a lot of sustainability goals, right? And it's surprising to me that 80% of travelers do not rent EVs. And so for me, that kind of spelled out what happened with Hertz. We talked about Hertz's issues a couple of weeks ago, and a lot of reasons why people don't do it is that one of the reasons is that they say it's complicated. Two, there's not enough availability. And three, is short range. And of course, travel policy also ties into this, where 12% said that the policy does not include electric vehicles. So if this is an area that companies want to move forward in, there's definitely a lot of work needs to be done as far as the study is concerned.
Yes, coupled with that, I saw quite a few pictures of Teslas not performing very well in very cold weather either. I see people struggling to open doors and getting the thing to operate. So probably not helping that story. But yeah, I was going to say, Hertz confirmed that for us, right? And sold off the entire fleet. So again, I just want to say thank you very much to those in the audience for joining us. We do this weekly, and Ash will remind you about that in a minute. And Svetlana, thank you for being our link of the week. And indeed, thank you for everybody else giving us your time. Thank you, Anne. Thank you, Ash and Mohit.
Thank you so much, everyone. And a shout out to Svetlana.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining today's session. We host this LinkedIn audio call every week on Monday, and it is all about linking the travel industry. Please do share this event with others that you know. Chances are high that if you enjoyed today's session, others that you know will as well. And if you cannot make it because of time zone or availability, we always make the session available as a podcast on businesstravel360.com. This is Linking the Travel Industry, signing off.